Amen. It's beautiful because we are not just worshiping a God, but a living God. A living God who we could see this last week through millions of butterflies. The only thing that I saw before that many butterflies were in Oregon. I never imagined that Southern California would have that. But also just now, with all the brass and all the wind instruments, that was awesome. And praise God for that. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. There are moments that we are experiencing in our lives that we feel like we can never get out of that valley. A valley that's just never ending. When are we done? I don't want to be in this valley anymore. It's too hard. It's way too difficult. But honestly, nobody wants to experience struggle. Nobody wants to experience hardship. For at least I have never heard somebody coming to me and saying, Ivan, wow, I want to share some of you. I have been suffering. You never hear that. It's like, yeah, my family and I, we've been going through some hard times. Well, that doesn't happen. Why? Because I believe every single one of us, we are searching for a better place. For a safe place. A place where we can get away and nothing would happen to us. But when I was at Pacific Union College, I remember my roommate and I would just be laying in our beds and thinking of the future and thinking one day, you know, when something does happen in our area, we want to just get away at the place where nothing's happening. So let's search for it. Well, to save you some time, there's not such a place. Even though we found some gorgeous areas in the world, like you can just fly to or just visit or whatever you think of, you just can't find that place. But we Googled it. We Googled that place, and one of the top places that we found on the top list, it was a country of New Zealand. And if you follow the news, yesterday there was a shooting in a mosque, in two different mosques, that 49 people have died and some other people have been injured. And when we look at that, you just ask yourself, where does such murder come from? Where did the hate come from? A feeling of revenge. Because you guys did this, I'll do the same thing to you. Which is, that is the same spirit that you are using against. And it's interesting because one of my friends had posted online saying, the moment they have heard the news, they actually went to the nearest mosque and just talked with people, prayed with people, felt their hardship and pain. So that person literally had the church at the mosque. But where do we find the answer? Where can we get the answer? Where is that place, a safe place, where I and my family can run to? We actually have to run to it now. When we look left and right, things are just coming our way. So I want to share with you three points with you that will help us to get to that safe place. And the very first point that I have figured out, if we don't have that, we can just stop now. But with that is, the safest place on earth is in our focus on Jesus alone. Alone, nothing else. you know, good house, big bank accounts, amazing car that is driving, you know, like, that's good. That's great. But it is not a safe place. It may be temporary. And so I want to take you back to a story that we find in the book of Numbers. So if you can turn with me to the book of Numbers, chapter 13. And in this chapter, we'll find 12 spies that were sent into Canaan. So they were not Russian spies, but they were spies. They were trying to make sure that God is right, that this is a land of milk and honey. Okay, great. But before we go into chapter 13, verse 26, we got to know where they came from before this point. And so the Israelites were slaves in Egypt for 400 years. Now God gets them out, gets them to the Red Sea. Now the Israelites, they see the sea apart. So they literally walk on the dry land. Wow. They pass through the sea. Now God is feeding them. He's giving them water. He got them to Sinai. Here's where he makes a commitment with them. Hey, covenant with them. You obey my laws and I will be with you. They literally could see the cloud. But God is present with them. Well, they were not perfect. They have messed up. They didn't listen to God. They turned away. But God was still willing to work with his people. Why? Because he loved them. He was preparing them for something more than just a nation. They were an example to the world, an example of what God does to those who listen to him. And now, after Sinai, they travel, and they get to that place where Moses does what? He sends 12 spies to Canaan. And here's what we read in verse starting 26. Now, they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron. So now they went to the land, they came back. Here's the news. And all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh, they brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, "We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit." Well, I wish they would have sent that with the same enthusiasm as I just did right now. But here's what they say next. "Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there." Those are big people. "The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan." So these 12 men, their job was to go and see what's going on. And they did bring the good news, but they continued with a lie. And that lie is that they are not able to go to the land, the very land that God has said, "I will get you there." So now they're looking with their eyes rather than with their faith. But there were two men. Who were they? Caleb and Joshua. There were two men who were faithful, and they totally saw things with a different eyes. And in verse 30, what do we read? Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." Don't you remember what God has done with us in Egypt? Didn't you see what he did to Egyptians? He opened up the sea for you and I so we can go through it. Don't you understand that God has promised to give it to us? And he keeps his promises? But no, the people thought differently. But the man who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." Were they right or not? It's true. People were stronger than them. They were way out of their league. They were so much stronger in every area. But the difference between the God's people and the Canaanite people, what was the difference? God was with them. There was nothing could compare with God's power. So instead of putting their trust and faith in God, now their view comes to themselves. And when they look at their strength and the strength of others, of the giants of the land, we are not able to do. So they forgot God once again. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants. The descendants of Anak came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight." So if you see those people, first thing that comes to your mind, gotta run away. But this people that God has brought out of Egypt, the reason why they were special is because God was with them. And God wanted to see if they had enough faith in him to get to the place where he promised he will get them to. And so you'll see, as we read here, it says the people did not wait to reflect. They didn't even wait. They did not reason that he who had brought them thus far would certainly give them the land. It's theirs. Would they take it? They did not call to mind how wonderfully God had delivered them from their oppressors, cutting a path through the sea and destroying the pursuing host of Pharaoh. They left God out of the question and acted as though they must depend solely on the power of arms. God's desire was not to get the swords and go out and destroy the nation so they can have it. Thing is, the land is already theirs. Would they want to take it? So they see the obstacle, and instead of dealing with it, they say, "I want to go back to Egypt. I'd rather be a slave again than be here once again." Boy, what I love about Caleb. Because Caleb was one of the two who said, he quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." But the people were so angry at them that they wanted to take their lives. But the 10, so it was 12 of them, 2 came with a good report, and 10 who told the Israelites something that made them all being afraid of. And what is interesting, if you flip this picture with if only 2 came with the bad reports and 10 people came with the good news, the results would be just the same. So it didn't matter because the people in their hearts, they didn't have enough faith that God would give them that land. But the 10 interrupted him. Picture the obstacles in darker colors than at first. This man, having entered upon a wrong course, stubbornly set themselves against Caleb and Joshua and Moses and God himself. This was not only an evil report, but it was also a lying one. So I want you to look at the bus. What's interesting about the bus? The bus is a representation of the things that we're facing in our lives. If you had a choice, if a bus was coming your way, would you rather a bus hitting you, swiping out of your feet, or a shadow of the bus sweeping you? Well, it's obvious. I would rather be swiped with a shadow. Why? Because the bus is not what it looks like. The bus are the problems in our lives, in my life, and the obstacle that's standing between me and God. That bus is something that the devil wants me to just give up, to say it's too much. I cannot handle any more, any longer. And that's what Swedes going to the next point. Number 2 says, with man, this is what? It's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. With God. So what do the Israelites do? First, they complain, we cannot do this. We can't. It's too much. I'd rather go back. So God said, okay, you are not ready yet. And when Moses told them the news, they're going to go back into wilderness. That is when they were mourning. They said, we got to take things under our own hands. And if you turn with me to chapter 14, verses 39 through 45, they're doing something they should not even have thought of, but they should have thought of the first place when God had gave them the opportunity. But when they figured out that they cannot go to the land, it was too late. Here's what it says. Then Moses told these words to all the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly that they cannot go. And they rose early in the morning and went up to the top of the mountain, saying, here we are, and we will go up to the place which the Lord has promised, for we have sinned. So now they decided to go back. Now they say, okay, now we won't want to go. What does Moses say? Now, why do you transgress the command of the Lord? For this will not succeed. Do not go up, lest you be defeated by your enemies. For the Lord is not with you. Here's what I see the picture, is that God loves them so very much that he builds a path, the best path for them, for their own sake, to protect them, to save them. Why? Because he loves them. He says, so God says, don't go this way. Because this way is best way. Why? Because I am going this way. If you want to go this way, I'm not there. So please don't go there. And Moses is pleading with them, saying, don't go, because God is not there. God is not with you. So they have a choice. Should we go or should we not? So for the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and you shall fall by the sword because you have turned away from the Lord. The Lord will not be with you. But they presumed to go up to the mountaintop. Nevertheless, neither the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord nor Moses departed from the camp. Then Amalekites and the Canaanites who dwelt in that mountain came down and attacked them and drove them back as far as Hormah. When God has delivered them from Egypt, all the 10 plagues, the word start passing around the nations how powerful and amazing God of Israel is. But because these people who decided to do things their own way with the sword that God has never meant to use, what happened to them? They're lost. But not just that. Now the word is passing around differently. It says, wait, we just defeated the same people that God, that we, all the news that we heard about them being delivered from Egypt, and we defeated them. So now a different report is going around. Psalm 36, 7 through 9 says, how priceless is your unfailing love, both high and low among men, find refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house. You give them drink from your river of delights. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. So what if in that very bus that is coming our way, that is about to hit our life down to the ground, what if that very bus that is actually a shadow, in that shadow, we can find anyone, high and low, poor and rich, doesn't matter who you are. What if we can find in that shadow a refuge in the shadow of your wings? So instead of focusing through this darkness we're going through, there's actually a shadow of God's wings that covers us on a side and just carries us through. What a beautiful sight. What an awesome God. So God wants us to hold on. He says, help is on the way. In fact, I'm already here. So hold on unto me, everything you've got. Because when other people look at our lives, as we walk through this fire, as we are sinking down in the sea, let other people say, there's another person in the fire with you. Who is that person? There's another person that the water is grabbing your hand. Who is he? Because that is an amazing sight I'm seeing in your life. And that very person is Jesus himself. He is with you in the fire. He is with you in the toughest, the hardest situation that looks impossible. But nothing is impossible with God. God is like, what is... He doesn't even have that in the dictionary of him. Now you ask me, why is the chicken up there? How did the chicken gain God to the screen? But it's an interesting story because the chicken got into the chicken coop. And the chicken coop started to burn. And it burned down. So the owner comes, sees the chicken burned. Comes to the chicken, lifts up the feathers, and the little chicks are still alive under the wings of the chicken. That is what God done for us. He literally covered us with his blood. This is my babies. This is my church. It's my people. I died for you so that you can fly like the wings of an eagle. Don't worry. Don't be afraid. I am with you. And my last point, focus on God's promises. It's so easy to focus on something that somebody told you, negative, something that is bringing you down to the ground. But when we focus on God's promises, he will lead us to the promised land, to the safest place that you can ever find. And that is, what is that place? that is with Jesus. And God's promises we can find in Proverbs 1:33. But all who listen to me will live in peace, untroubled by fear of harm. No matter what happens to me, I have a peace of God that Jesus lives in me. And heaven is already with me because he is with me. Romans 8:37-39 says, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate my Jesus, you and my Jesus, from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The question is, where do we find our refuge? In the impossible. Because Jesus himself is reaching out to you and I. It says, come to me, spend time with me. What you value is what you will make time for. So please make time for me. Am I worth of your time? And let me tell you what, God is worth every second of our time. Every millimeter, everything that we have in life, it's God's, and he is merciful to us. Let us find refuge in his wings, because that's the safest place that you will ever find. Amen. And now we're going to close with a hymn number 334, Come Thou Fount.